We have our first Grandmaster interview.
Sir, I will live with perseverance in the spirit of Taekwondo. Courtesy for fellow students. Integrity within myself. And to become a black belt leader. Welcome to the ATA Nation Podcast.
ATA Nation, instructors, students, parents of ATA Nation, we are thrilled to have you back with us again today for episode number 62. This is the very first episode where we have an interview from a Grandmaster. Today, we have an awesome interview with Grandmaster Caruso. It was great to talk to him. I've been lucky enough to get to interact with him a fair amount in our region and national events and things like that. I could have had this interview go on for another half hour because there's so much I want to talk to him about, but we wanted to pare it down a little bit. Today, you're going to get to hear Grandmaster Caruso's origin story, where how he started martial arts. And then we talk some about Fall Nationals coming up in Pittsburgh. It's going to be so much fun. Let's get right to the interview.
Special guest interview.
ATA Nation, I am super excited to have with us our very first Grandmaster on the podcast. Grandmaster Caruso is here with us today. How are you today, sir?
I'm wonderful, sir. Thanks for having me.
Oh, we are thrilled to have you. Super excited. I thought it would be great to have you, not only because we haven't had a Grandmaster yet. I get to see you a lot as you come over to our region and are at some of our tournaments. Love going out to Pittsburgh. And we've got Nationals coming up out in Pittsburgh. And I want to get to that. But before that, I'd love to start with like your origin story. How did you get started in martial arts?
I got lucky. I really did. You know, I was very fortunate. I was 15 years old, and my sport at the time that I played a couple different sports, but the sport that I thought at the time that I excelled in was baseball, and I really enjoyed it. And I was a catcher, and actually thought about playing in college at one point, but anyway, there was a martial arts school opening up in the town next to where I was born and raised. And it went into, there was a newsstand, a bookstore. And I went into there and I saw these magazines. It was Karate Illustrated was the name of it. And on the cover of it was Bruce Lee was on one of them. I don't know if that was the first one I purchased. The next one was Joe Louis was on the cover. And, I looked through the magazine. I bought it. And when I got it home, I saw, you know, all these kicks and flexibility and stretching and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, wow, catchers need that, you know. And yeah. I was in charge of, you know, on our baseball team was every February and January, we would actually start doing dry land drills in the gym, throwing balls. And we had a machine that threw the balls at you. And we took batting practice and all that. And I said, well, I'll just join this martial arts for, you know, a couple of months until the season starts, and then I'll just quit. And I'll learn something from the flexibility. That's really what I was looking for. It wasn't a matter of self-defense or anything. I thought I could, you know, improve my physical skills to enhance the sport that I was involved in. Well, that didn't work out. What happened was I got the bug. I got really in the habit of wanting to do that more and more. But I continued all through high school, and I kept my commitment. And you know, by the time I was a senior, you know, I was the co-captain of the team, and, you know, my coach was fantastic and gave me extra time to get out of practice when I needed to go to the school to take my lessons. And one thing led to the next. And then I went to college and helped start a college karate club on the campus. And while I was in college, my third year in college, I actually had a full business. I was teaching an ATA school that I had, and that was how I got through my college career too. And, never did anything with my college degree, just banked my experiences and banked all the great relationships that came along with that. And it's been in martial arts ever since.
Wow. That's a great story. Was that original school? Did you start right out with ATA or what would be ATA?
Well, my first instructor, Mr. Gabriel Siofre, he had just finished I believe, 5 year in the military, 5 or 6 years in the military in Korea, where he earned his black belt under a Korean master. And I started training with him, and we didn't belong to anything. Mm-hmm. We did the old ITF forms, you know, mm-hmm. Chunji, Dangun, Dosan, all those forms, you know, that we did in the ATA anyway. He responded to an ad, and I believe that I still have that ad at home. It's a very small, it was like a 2-inch by 2-inch ad, column ad in this magazine. And there was a camp being held and opportunity of a new organization, the American Taekwondo Association. Mr. Siofre went and visited Grandmaster, made a connection. And when he came back into town, he was like, okay, we've joined an organization. And prior to that, we didn't belong to anything. So by the time I got ready for my first testing, I had been already training like 5 months. And, you know, he was ready to have a testing, and he made this decision to join the ATA. And today, we remain great friends. It was the best decision he made, and it was the best decision I made to have such a great father figure as Mr. Siofre was to me. You know, he was who mentored me and taught me and gave me the basic, really, foundation of my martial arts career. And then when he took an early retirement at a third degree level, I took over for him and bought the school and went from there, basically. And he was the one that influenced me. He said, I want you to continue your training with H.U. Lee. And that was the second best decision I ever made. He made it for me. And so I had, you know, Mr. Siofre up to third degree, and from third degree to where I'm at today, you know, is been all be influenced. And Grandmaster H.U. Lee was my instructor for 24 and a half years.
Wow, that's amazing. And it's so cool to hear that you started out, you know, kind of, you know, with a business right there in college with you know, a club and whatnot. One of the things we want to do with the podcast is help young martial artists see that, you know, this can be a career for them. You know, you were in college. Can I ask what your degree was in?
Yeah, it was food service hospitality.
Nice. All right. And then you know, you've got some experience in college. You use that, you know, time as you've got this business already. You know, how cool. And then, you know, obviously it seems like it's gone pretty well for you, this martial arts thing.
Yes, sir. And yeah, I had a great advisor in the department. I actually started off, I thought about going into being a nutritionist or a dietitian. Mm. And work, you know, in the industry, like at a hospital or, you know, institutional type situations for that profession at the time. And the chemistry labs were a little bit more than I was wanting to put in. And it got to be, you know, a little tricky for me. So my advisor said, you know, why don't you, you know, come over to the business side and go into the hospitality side of the industry. And I was like, okay, great. Yeah, that's a better fit. The subject matters, the courses, the electives were better for me. But then as I got going in my career, you know, I did some full contact for a couple years and started competing. And obviously there weren't ATA tournaments as they are now. So I was competing in some open tournaments. And, you know, one thing led to the next. And I said, this is the career path I'm going to take for a while. And while I made that decision, it was an addiction for me.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
It really was. Professionally speaking, it's, you know, today I really believe that, you know, what I do is obviously a professional level on the martial arts industry. But, you know, you can say you have a job, you're employed, but I believe this has been my calling from day one. And I'm very blessed and fortunate to be in that position. I love teaching. I like what it does for our community and the impact it makes on people's lives, no matter what age you are. There's always so many more benefits that come from this other than just the rudiments of physical training.
Yes, sir. Well, two things there that stick out to me is your love for teaching. I've been in classes that you've taught, and anybody who has knows that you're just a phenomenal instructor. Really take, you know, not just the way you're teaching, but how you're teaching it. What advice would you give to a young instructor to really improve their teaching skills in connecting with those students?
Well, one of my interesting, you asked, that's a very good question, Master Hayden. One of the things that I still, you know, we've had some great resources in this organization. You know, we had great instructor manuals over the years. I still have kept a couple of them. I still revert back to some of that material where there's the old flow charts where you had to fill in the blanks of all the different material of our teaching on the floor. Then we obviously, as you know, we got revamped into the legacy program and how that worked. And there's a lot of good material from that. But one of the things I felt that helped me out the most was following good leadership, attaching myself to those great leaders, and then 10 class management skills. And I think they've still maybe been lost with some of our licensees. And I know I've challenged some licensees and they never heard of the 10 class management skills.
That's painful.
And I still today, you know, that's where I start everybody that joins Legacy in my instructor programs in our schools. That's where I start off. We start with that, you know, and then when that we build our culture and our businesses and our process of how we, you know, handle new members and how we, you know, take them from one rank to the next in our curriculum and what we offer them is still the foundation of what I still refer as the 10 class management skills.
Well,
and everything in between.
Yes, sir. Yeah. No, I can tell from your teaching. I remember you were doing a class before. I think we had a regional testing that night or something. I don't remember. It's been many years ago in Tecumseh. And we were working out. And I remember you coming over and highlighting someone and use, you know, reinforce positive behavior. And, you know, I was like a fifth degree or something at the time. And dang, it still works on me every time. You know, you if you highlight somebody, you reinforce this positive behavior, it makes everybody else go, ooh, you know, I want that. You know, and it works every single time. It's just gold.
Was that the time I made you drop for knuckle pushups?
No, it wasn't that time.
Okay, good. Yeah, good. Yeah. I don't remember that either.
No, thankfully not recently.
That was all in fun, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, we've had a great time up there in Tecumseh.
You guys, you know, I've got to give a shout out to my Tecumseh family because every time I'm out there, you know, I'm out there frequently, mm-hmm. and I'm always helping out that great leader out there by the name of Chief Master Tomas Sandoval. You know, I've always felt so comfortable there because it's so compared to our region. You know,
yes, sir.
It's like one big region. You guys all rally around each other. You know, as licensees, you support each other in your regional activities and mostly your tournaments. I see it, and you guys got a bang up group out there. So just keep up doing the good work that you're doing, and I know Chief Master really relies on you and all the other 6th and 7th degrees in our region to help. And you do a great job. So thank you.
Thank you, sir. We always love having you over here. And that brings me to coming over your direction. We have not had a national event so close to my, you know, hometown since, I don't know, I think it was like 96 we were in Chicago, 97. I don't remember what year it was, but there was a Nationals in Chicago, and then never since then has there been one as close. And we're heading to Pittsburgh. Pretty exciting.
Good.
We're going to bring a bunch of people.
How far are you when Tecumseh? How far are you to Tecumseh?
I am about 2 hours from Tecumseh. We're about 5 hours from Pittsburgh. You know, it's going to be a great drive. We're super excited to come over. You know, I was just watching online a video of the facility. It looks beautiful. You know, did you have to bribe somebody to get us over there to Pittsburgh? Because I'm super excited about it. We'll pitch in for the bribe next time.
Well, it was something that I've talked about a long time ago, you know, even prior to Chief Master Stevens, who's does a great job hitting up all our national events. Even when Chief Master Cole was in that role, I had brought that to his attention and trying to someday think about Pittsburgh. And, you know, it's, you know, no, it's just the fruition of moving our ATA tournament sites around the country. And we just happened to have a good fit and it worked out. And I'm very happy about that, obviously. Good chance we're going to be here for a repeat year. You know, we'll have a couple years here in Pittsburgh, maybe even more. I think people will find the city of Pittsburgh to be very friendly, very accommodating. Where the facility is located is walking distance for any of the major hotels right around the convention center. The weather here will be good. You know, everybody thinks there's going to be snow in October, but those that have never been in the Western Pennsylvania area and are driving in, they'll see some beautiful sights along the road of the colored of the leaves and the trees turning, and the weather will be great. And by the way, it's a big sporting event that week between October 12th and 15th. So we start our program, as you know, on Wednesday at the Westin with some seminars and clinics on Thursday. And that Thursday night is the opening night on for the Pittsburgh Penguins. It's the home opener on Thursday night. And then they play again on Saturday night. So there'll be two home games there. I only know that because I'm a season ticket holder, so I'll be at both games. And then Sunday, we have our Tampa Bay Buccaneers visiting the Steel City to take on our Steelers on Sunday afternoon. And the Westin is our major hotel that we're using. We also found out that that's where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will be staying. So we're sharing that hotel venue with them. So it's going to be a real buzz. It'll be exciting.
That's going to be a busy weekend. I'm sure all the teams are excited to have the ATA there. I know that's going to be their big thing. They're going to be thrilled that we're there. You know, we're the big deal that weekend, I'm sure.
Yeah. And I know our region, Region 117, we're pumped. I mean, this is great. I mean, having the location here in Pittsburgh too, Master Hayden, just shows that we're diversifying in the tournament areas. You know, we have, and I think I can say this, that attendance, the attraction of our attendance to our regional tournaments are growing. And of course, that's going to have an impact on our national events, and they're going to grow. And I do believe that we have the opportunity to, you know, look at fresh new locations beyond Pittsburgh throughout the country as we move into the future, because so many of these cities now, the venues, we have great size convention centers. The hotels, they're very willing. I think they realize what great event we put together. And I think these locations in other cities, they're willing to offer us some of their time to do business with them, because we are great at what we do. And the events are well organized, and, yes, and they like that.
Yeah, you know? I mean, and it's great to see these events moving around the country. You know, the East Coast hasn't had anything, you know, that makes it really easily accessible without flying recently. And it's just, I think it's nice to be able to share these events across the country, travel to different places, and be able to experience new locations. And it gives, I know for my, I have a lot of students that are not big at going to the national events or anything like that, but they're going to make time to go to Pittsburgh because it's close enough that they can take the weekend and go. Where, sure. You know, right now World Championships is, you know, you gotta fly there for us. You know, and so I think it's going to, as we move these around the country, we'll introduce more of the tournament goers that hit regional tournaments, districts, but aren't heading to the nationals right now. I think it's going to give them an opportunity to see the ATA as a bigger organization, be able to get some experience in these events. And I'm super excited about that.
Good. No, I'm glad. I'm happy that you feel that way. And I know a lot of others are feeling the same way. I've been taking a few phone calls here in the last couple of weeks, just with people calling, asking for some opinions of what to do here in Pittsburgh, where to go, what to see. Pittsburgh has a lot to offer. They really do. My wife and I, just last week, before we went on vacation, we went to the Pittsburgh Zoo. And right now, I think it's all the way going through the end of October. They have Asian Lantern Festival.
Oh, cool.
And it was beautiful. Yeah. Once it got, I mean, we were there kind of early, before the sun went down, but you know, when it gets dark, it is just lit up. It's beautiful. And one of the things I thought about was, you know, wow, if you you could dress out in one of the bathrooms and take your Doblock. There's some great opportunities for photos in front of some of the lighted ornaments that they have set up with dragons. And it's got an Asian flair. And it was just very relaxing to stroll through the zoo and watch the display. And that was pretty cool. It was a lot more relaxing than I thought it was going to be for me. So it was a really nice evening to be out walking like that and seeing the festival.
Well, I might have to check that out with my family. I know my wife and I were out in Pittsburgh for just a quick little anniversary in the winter a couple of years ago, and we really enjoyed it. We took the little, what do they call that trolley that's on the hill by the river?
The incline?
Yeah, the incline. Yes. Yeah. Yes. We took that. We went over there and checked that out and, you know, saw some other things.
That'll take you up to Mount Washington. The overlooks, great for taking pictures with the triangle of the three rivers coming together. Great restaurants up there as well. Those that are traveling in, it has a vehicle. I would recommend them thinking about bringing a cooler with them. Because if you go up behind the convention center, Penn Avenue, to the Strip District, people would be able to do some shopping, and you might get some things that you normally don't get in your grocery stores, you know. There's some really cool places. The seafood places, Woolies, where you can actually pick out live fish, and they'll take care of them for you, and they'll pack them in ice. You can take them home. We got a couple places in the Strip where you can get some great beef products, steaks, I mean, produce. And then they have the course of that weekend is going to be crazy because of the Steelers being in town. So, you know, there's a great diner. It's very famous in the Strip District. It's called DeLuca's. You'll stand in line around the block to get in, but it's a great breakfast, and you probably can't finish the entire breakfast that you ordered. It's just a great place. So, I think our ATA family will really enjoy this event. And I can only say the David Lawrence Convention Center is beautiful. The space that we have acquired is going to be wonderful. It overlooks the Allegheny River. So it is going to be really nice.
Well, I'm excited about it personally. We're bringing the whole family. It's going to be a great time. I also signed up for a new seminar that I had never seen anywhere before. And you are the instructor. While I've got you on, can you tell us a little bit about the seminar that you're doing at Nationals this year?
Sure. Well, I've taught it in the past. It was basically, it comes from the PPCT programs that I'm certified in and a staff instructor under Bruce Siddle. And it's the program that I teach in correctional facilities and for law enforcement. In the former name was SKD, and that was the abbreviation for spontaneous knife defense.
Okay.
And we've done a lot of work. And for my staff credentials that Mr. Siddle requires to become a staff instructor, he gave me the task of coming up with time elements. And we did motion time studies and camera work for blade movement. And it was obviously for law enforcement, but it's very applicable for civilians. And we noticed there was some corrections that needed to be made with our knife program. And Bruce is very big on research and time and distance. So we have now tweaked the program, and it's a new name. So it's going to be the countermeasures, edge weapon countermeasures program. And I started doing some of the material a little bit in a couple of the courses regionally here and nationally. I'll just throw a few knife things in as we were working on it just to see how our instructors felt with it and how it looked. And they all, those that have been following me in my career doing these SKD programs in the past, all said, yeah, this is much better. So we trimmed it down a little bit. It's very quick, it's very fast, and it has less movement, which is very important when you're in a high risk event, especially a knife. And so we're going to introduce some new movements and just some new training tools for instructors to take home and hopefully blend it into their self-defense portion if they have that in their curriculum.
Excellent. Oh, I'm super excited then. I took the spontaneous knife defense oh, years and years and years ago. And so I'm super excited to see an update and, you know, just sharpen my skills. And that's going to be a lot of fun. Cool.
Well, while I can make a plug on that is, certainly, you know, just to follow up, our people that are registered for that, I would highly recommend that they, if they can bring their own training knife, that would help. But most for them, for their protection and just have a great training day, I would recommend everybody bring forearm pads and then either shin pads or just your regular kicks that you use in free sparring.
Great advice. I know I remember taking spontaneous knife defense my forearms afterwards were just torn to shreds. I remember and my shins. We did there was the upward stab and you push down block and kick to the shin and we went all the way up and down the floor you know full force with that and it was fun.
Yeah, well, we're going to be doing that as well, and we're going to be adding a new technique that'll follow up any of the brachial stuns, which is now the occipital stun. There's another location that I'll be introducing for this program, so that'll be a new thing, and a lot of good research behind that.
Oh, I'm excited. I love that. We're about out of time today. I will definitely have to have you on the show again because I am super interested in how you got into the self-defense side. And, you know, you're so involved with training law enforcement. I know after 9/11, you helped airlines and there's a whole story there. But we're going to have to tease that for another time.
Be happy to do it.
Yeah, we would love to have you back on, sir. Before we go, just any words of wisdom for ATA Nation out there? Anything you want to say to ATA Nation before we go?
Well, sure. I mean, I think that on my position where I'm at in this career that we all have as licensees, I'm just asking that everybody keep supporting our organization, support your community. You know, if you're not a master yet, think about being that master on a daily basis. You know, say to yourself, I'm already a master. I just haven't gone through that process yet. Act like one. Be humble. Be kind to one another. But make sure that when you're on the mat, you get business done. Make people happy that they're with you. Remember that, you know, we don't go out and seek new members. They seek us out. And we should be very fortunate and happy that they're doing that. And so I'm just asking, you know, our leaders out there, you know, leaders are people in positions of responsibility and not in glamour. So don't take advantage of your title or do that. Be the person you need to be. And I'm very lucky to have the relationships that I've had with my two instructors. They were so balanced in that area. And I would just like to see us all on a daily basis cultivate our talent and our relationships. And if we can constantly do that, I do that on a daily basis. I always think about what can I do to focus on cultivating either my talent in some way, sharing that with somebody, and bonding with good relationships on a daily basis.
That is great advice, sir.
I don't know if it's great advice, Master, but it works for me. And when I work with my juniors under me, I'm always, you know, asking them, you know, what are you doing in that area? I'm proud of you. Keep working that because that's what's going to make our organization great and keep it moving forward. We got to be proactive, progressive, and be positive and everything. And when you get all those P words going, we're professional. And that's what it needs to be.
Yes, sir. Well, and I think anyone who has interacted with you just can see your dedication, your service. You know, we as an organization are blessed to have you as one of our leaders. I want to thank you for your time today and just everything you do for the ATA.
Well, I thank you for what you do, getting some communication out and putting people on your podcast like this. That's very nice. And thank you for the kind words. I appreciate it. And you have a great week and definitely we'll see you. Are you going to camp?
Yes, sir. I will be at leadership camp and at Fall Nationals.
Good. And I'll see you at Fall Nationals first, of course. And then I'll be looking forward to working with you at the leadership camp. Thanks for coming and attending.
Yes, sir. Well, again, appreciate your time today.
I appreciate you too, sir. You have a great week.
Thank you, sir. Well, that's so exciting to have Grandmaster Caruso on the pod, as the kids say. I don't know if anyone says that. But again, thank you for tuning in today. We're going to wrap it up. Hopefully you've been enjoying this. We've got a couple of great interviews coming up with school owners, young school owners. We want to talk about, just like Grandmaster said, you know, he started that school right in college, and he's been doing martial arts as a full-time career ever since then. We want to inspire the next generation of school owners. So we got some really cool interviews coming up with some awesome school owners. Until next time, make sure you're out there taking action.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the ATA Nation Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and share with your ATA family.
Hey, I want to remind you, go over to ATAMA.ninja/uncut. All right, get a membership card. Okay, we want you to have a membership card, because we're going to be dropping some really cool things for people who have those cards. Only people who have those cards. They cost like $2, and I'm not making bank on these things or anything. You got to put a price on there, otherwise you get a bunch of bots and things that claim them, and we don't want that. So pick up a membership card. ATAMA.ninja/uncut. Okay, see you guys next week.